Well, we've just been hearing a little bit out of Isaiah. Isaiah 6:8. Let's read through it again. Isaiah 6:8 from the scripture says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me." What a wonderful call and response this verse provides for us. Whom shall I send? Here I am. You know, it seems like so much of life is kind of just being in the right place at the right time, isn't it? Do you ever notice that? Just showing up. You know, have you ever noticed that the last guy to come in and get the last vanilla cream donut is either going to be you or the guy that came in before you? I mean, there's not any other options on that one either. Have you noticed that? There's either, congratulations, you made the cut on the vanilla cream donuts this morning, or, sorry, you should have set your alarm 10 minutes earlier, but we have bagels. I suppose if it becomes a daily issue of getting to the last donut, maybe I should quit eating them in the first place, because there's a small chance they're to blame for me getting there late. But it's not just donuts. There's a lot of other instances where we see timing. You know, you get the last parking place in the front row, or you didn't. You were the last one to drive that vehicle out of the car dealership, or you weren't. You know, maybe you ended up with the woman of your dreams because you just happened to walk in the establishment at the right moment. She needed change for the vending machine. Now we have 3 kids and live in the parsonage. See, it's all showing up. When it comes to doing the will of the Lord, it's similar. He's asking for our availability. We show up. There's an old spiritual song, perhaps you've heard it. It's been done by a few different groups. The old song that says, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. Have you heard that old song? Indeed, when he's calling you, make yourself available. You gotta move. You must show up. Isaiah's commission from the Lord in Isaiah 6:8 is an example to us on how our availability plays directly into our lives spiritually. Whom shall I send? Here I am. Now, there's some aspects about Isaiah showing up that I'd like to touch on this morning. Because first, we must understand that service to God will demand more than just what is physically in His presence. We must show up, but there is a little more to it than that, right? I mean, obviously, I could have just sent in a cardboard cutout of myself this morning instead of actually coming in to preach. That wouldn't work. You still have to go to Tim Hortons and Alma to get the vanilla cream donuts, right? I mean, you still have to find the car keys, you still have to make those turns, you still have to, you know, your best timing getting on 46, which is a lot of fun, and so on and so forth, right? Steps we take in showing up, steps we take in being available. So let's touch on 3 points this morning, and I encourage you to take some notes on your inserts and your bulletins if you'd like. I've got it outlined in there. Regarding what this availability or showing up must entail from a spiritual standpoint. How do we make ourselves available for the Lord? How do we say to Him, "Here I am"? Well, first, we make ourselves available for the Lord by recognizing His presence. Perry touched on that a little earlier during communion time. Isaiah certainly recognized the presence of the Lord, didn't he? Back in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah throws himself at the mercy of God. He recognizes that he is lost, a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And yet here he is in the presence of the King, the Lord of hosts. The Lord honors this. The Lord honors this acknowledgement. He sets Isaiah's mind and spiritual state at ease before the Lord even asks a single request of him. Isn't that interesting? You know, when we're in the physical presence of God Almighty, can you imagine? Can you imagine? May we do all that we can to recognize who He is in contrast to who we are. It's interesting. when we look through the Gospels, every week you guys wait and see when I pick up if I'm going to grab the hymnal or the Bible. So I keep them both up here. I always kind of wonder, too, which one I'm going to grab. When we look through the Gospels in the New Testament, I've noticed that Jesus likes to determine the state of the person's heart often before a great miracle occurs. Do you notice this? It's neat. Example, Matthew 15:24 with the Canaanite woman. Did she have the faith to acknowledge his presence as the Lord before he heals her daughter? Jesus wasn't just some fly-by-night miracle worker. He was and is the Lord of Lords, God incarnate. And the same is happening here. Isaiah acknowledges the presence of the Lord of Lords, and in his humble response, he shows where his heart is. He shows exactly where his heart is at. You know, we have to recognize the authority of the commanding officer before we can follow him, don't we? We have to recognize the presence of God before we can go about doing what he asks of us. And do we always recognize that presence? You know, because sometimes we're out, we're driving down the road, we're out in our vehicles, maybe we see somebody broken down on the side of the road and we see them standing outside their vehicle. And maybe smoke is coming from the vehicle. That's always a lot of fun. And we just keep on driving because we know we're running late for that dinner or that meeting. And then Luke 10, we remember, parable of the Good Samaritan, we hear the small voice call out to us about what will happen to that person, not so much what will happen to me. So we stop, we stop the vehicle, we turn around. Maybe we miss that dinner or miss that meeting, and maybe we lose the business contact that we were so desperate to impress. But we recognized the presence of the Lord in the situation. We made ourselves available. Good trade. Good trade. But do we do this every single time we get an opportunity without fail, no matter the circumstances? Now, I understand, you know, not every need is a call. It's going to take a walk with the Lord, growth in the Spirit, time in the Word, devotion to prayer for us to grow in spiritual discernment to recognize the presence of the Lord calling at us in a situation. But what I love about the way the Scripture tells us it's going to happen is John 14:17, he who is in Christ has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Isaiah didn't have that. We don't have to wait for a vision or a voice. If we're Christians, the Lord is with us. You know, it's funny, despite what some may be teaching, the Holy Spirit is not going to show up a second or third or 300th time and make us roll around on the floor and act funny. We've got him. We've got him once we're in Jesus, but the question is, are we recognizing that he's there? Are we recognizing that he's there? Do we say to God as we're going down the road or we're sitting in our office or working in the kitchen or garage, there you are. And as this broken and this hurting world around us comes more and more into our view, do we respond with, here I am? Like Isaiah, we must recognize the presence of the Lord to be available for him. Second point this morning is we make ourselves available for the Lord by trusting that he knows best. Trusting that he knows best. That's a hard one, you know. It's not easy to trust that the Lord is calling you back to help the stranded motorist over making that meeting. You know, it wasn't easy for my family to pick up and move to another state when God called us to Vesterburg last year. It's not easy to trust that the Lord is calling you to a mission field, perhaps thousands of miles away from home. Maybe you don't know how you're going to get there. Maybe you don't know what you're going to do after you get there. Maybe you don't know how you're going to get back. And you know what? It probably wasn't easy for Isaiah to evangelize to the sinful kingdom of Judah and trust that the Lord would still vindicate them. That probably wasn't too easy. He probably thought, you know, especially later on more than one occasion, why me? And why bother? I'm wondering if Isaiah 20, verses 2 to 4, 3 years that he spent walking naked and barefoot got him down at all. Do you think that would do it as a sign and wonder? Aren't you glad this was Isaiah's calling and not yours? I mean, what would you do in his shoes, or in this case, not in his shoes at all? Sorry. And yet, God worked. Thanks. Usually she tells me to cut those out. She didn't hear that one, so it didn't make the cut. And yet God worked miracles through Isaiah's tireless trust in him, didn't he? You know, it's really cool. In 2 Kings 20, verses 8 to 11, he moves time back. The Lord moves time back. It's in the Bible. If you're a science fiction fan, you got to look it up. It's really, really neat what the Lord did. Isaiah's prophecies regarding Jesus Christ are what give his writings their greatest significance to us today. You know who quoted Isaiah? Matthew, Paul, Jesus himself. One commentator notes that the Gospels quote more from Isaiah than from any other of the Old Testament prophets. Over 2,500 years later, Isaiah's trust in Almighty God is still speaking directly to us in Scripture. Isn't that something? What should this tell us? What should this tell us? If we're going to call him sovereign God, shouldn't we accept that he knows a whole lot better than we do in all that we do? If his scope is outside of our lifetime to thousands of years worth of lifetimes well into eternity, shouldn't we think it might be a good idea to trust him with our little lifetimes? The Lord did amazing things through the prophet Isaiah because Isaiah trusted that the Lord knew best and that the Lord would continue to know best long after Isaiah's lifetime was over. But so many times we think, why bother? So many times we think, what's the payoff with all this faith stuff? So many times we think, what's the point in even believing at all? Why do we keep trying? Because life gets us down, right? People get us down. We're stuck in what I like to call the time box, and so we're watching moments go by. We're measuring each moment and deciding its worth based on the level of emotional return we're getting from it at the moment. But we can't let emotional return or our location in the time box deter us from pressing forward, believing that God knows best. God knows best. He is still God. C.S. Lewis writes, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." This means we might have a parent, we might have a child that mocks us for praying, that resists us trying to pray with them and laughs at us for praying for them, but we keep praying. This means we might have a new neighbor in the complex that is living a lifestyle so reckless, so contrary to 1 Corinthians 6, even by worldly standards, that all of a sudden it's like we're trying to run a mission next door to the gates of hell. You know what? That's okay. Jesus says those gates of hell won't withstand his church. So that's okay. We keep on being salt and light to that neighbor. We don't lower our standards one bit to what's happening around us. This means that we might get deathly sick, receive the short end of the stick in a business transaction, lose everything we own in a fire, have someone we love betray us, have our identity and credit and reputation destroyed, be threatened by a terrorist regime, be without food, shelter, clothing, you name it, and still trust that Jehovah God is sovereign. He allows what he allows, but what we experience in this lifetime shouldn't change our course for eternity except for discovering the Lord of the universe. That's the one thing that's important. Jesus promised John 16:33, he has overcome the world. No matter what comes our way, he is still the Lord. No matter what tries to knock us off course, we must still keep running towards him. No matter how tempting it is not to show up for roll call, we must still make an appearance. No matter how badly we want to jump ship, there's still but the one captain. When it comes to what's happening to us, we must depend more, not less, on His overcoming it all. Because He has. He's overcome it all. We will always be able to use the excuse, this isn't easy. But if serving Him were easy, wouldn't we all just do it? God knows best. May we hold to that, even as things seem to get worse in our lives. May we continue to say, here I am, not I'm out of here. Saying, here I am, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. Final point this morning is that we make ourselves available for the Lord by following His lead. We go. We are obedient. We follow. The Lord is looking for service, the one who will depend on His leading. Once we recognize His presence, we trust that He knows what is best for us. We go. We soldier forward. Matthew Henry writes, "We must not say I would go if I thought I should have success, but I will go and leave the success to God. Here I am, send me." Isaiah had the assurance of his sin. He was fit for service, forward to it. It is a great comfort to those whom God sends that they go for God. And be assured that He will bear them out. And here's what's interesting. The idea that we're obedient to the Lord and going when He sends us might be the whole reason why He is sending us in the first place. Might be the whole reason. It just might be that He is building us up for something else for His glory. For His glory. I remember a 27-year-old that was never fond of sitting in class. He had no idea how to present information to other people, and to be honest with you, he had only half listened when information had been presented to him. He had absolutely no experience of any kind in distributing information to other people in a classroom setting, but he knew one thing. He was in love with Jesus. He had recently fallen in love with messianic prophecy, the prophecy through Isaiah of the Christ, and he wanted to present a message on Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah before his peers. That was me, by the way. Full disclosure. I'll never forget the morning I first taught Sunday school in a small classroom at First Christian Church in Warsaw, Indiana. Somewhere I've still got the lesson I presented. Sub-Sunday school teaching turned into regular teaching when the senior minister of the church passed away and the associate minister took his place. That associate minister just happened to leave a certain Sunday school class needing a teacher, and guess who stepped in? The Lord. Teaching for me turned into serving on the diaconate, praise team service, Sunday school superintendent, interning, full-time Bible school. Years later, here I am this morning with you, Ferris Church of Christ. You guys still let me come back every week. I'm still acknowledging. I'm still trusting. I'm still following. I leave the success all to God. All the glory goes to God. I'm just following. I'm just walking behind. I'm just following in the footsteps. You know, I haven't been behind him because I've thought every step of the way was going to be immediate success. In fact, when I received the first call from an elder here in March of last year, I remember thinking, there's no way that's going anywhere. That won't amount to anything. That's the very first phone call I've received from anybody. That's not how these things go. Surprise! You know what? When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. We don't question. We don't argue. We don't say that's not the way these things go. We don't try to go about it our own way. When He leads, we follow. It works. I'm here to tell you it works. I pray that we all have the courage to make ourselves available for God's call upon our lives. We're not going to receive it because of anything we've done or are doing. By the way, it is true, God doesn't call the qualified, as you hear. He qualifies the call. Just look at Isaiah. We will receive it because of who He is. We will receive it because of His greatness, because of what He is doing. One commentator says, Isaiah's response shows at once his confidence in God and his zeal. He had been qualified for it by the commission. He was now ready to bear the message to his countrymen. In this attitude, we should stand, prompt to deliver any message that God shall entrust to our hands, and to engage in any service that He calls on us to perform. There's another verse, 1 Corinthians 7:17, Paul writes, "Let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches." Our calling comes from He who is called I Am. I Am, the only self-sufficient, self-existent being in the universe, the great I Am. Will we have the courage to respond with, "Here I am," because of Him? Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, we don't deserve You. We don't deserve Your goodness. Each and every one of us in this room needs You. We need You to come into our lives, to make us new. Lord, I pray this morning that when life gets in the way, when situations frustrate us, when we begin to doubt, Lord, I pray that that doubt will drive us to You instead of away. Lord, I pray that You would call out to us, when You call out to us, that we would have the courage to respond to the call, that we would make ourselves available in the long term and in the short term, and that when we see opportunities to present the gospel to the world, that we'd be available, that we recognize who You are, that we trust in who You are, and that we move forward. Lord, You love us so much, a love that we can't understand, that we can't comprehend in this lifetime. But Lord, we love You, and we are so thankful. I pray that Your mercy and Your grace drive us to obedience, that we understand and recognize a little bit more of who You are, Your greatness, Your sovereignty, and that we have the courage to let that drive us to the world to be salt and light for You. Please work through us. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. And we have an invitation for you at this time. If you have a public decision to make, you want to come forward, you want to be immersed into Jesus. Greatest decision you could ever make. The one thing in this life you got to take with you to the next. I pray that you have the courage to be available for the Lord. If you have a public decision that you'd like to make, please come forward. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." Can't think of a more fitting title. Hymn 341. Would you stand and sing with us?